Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet, bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season's almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
I do have bad calls on here.
All right.
Yeah.
Figured as much.
Dude, I will say it always feels like a little bit of a black box because it'll be some sort of, like sometimes it'll be a topic that you've been ruminating on, you know, in your shower and on your walks to work and stuff for like a week or two. And you'll have like a very well thought out opinion on the subject. And for us, it's like, you know, going in blind. It's like, what do you got on this obscure thing? Like, I don't know, man. Never really thought about like, you know, race relations in pre-colonial Istanbul or whatever.
That's what you do with the Cobb topic. Though,
that's the
too.
Idea.
You always
yeah.
have some great
Cobb, don't worry.
Backstory, and then we're put on the spot trying to come up with something funny or interesting.
Yeah, part of this true. Topic I'm going to bring up today, I'm going to have to backtrack on some stuff I said that you were right about. So,
oh, all right.
You'll like it.
Good day. You are listening to a podcast, but this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast starring the Tens. Starring the Tens. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. Ha-ha! The podcast starts. You better wear a helmet now.
Woo! The podcast, episode 246. What's up with your boy, the Ted Smith? I'll be hosting this here podcast. Greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
To the left of me. Actually, he's to the right of me. And he's always here unless he's somewhere in Southeast Asia on two wheels. He goes by the name of Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
You love that. The NASDAQ composite dropped lower today on continued trade tensions with China and possible antitrust regulation in the EU. The podcast beat earnings estimates this week on strong holiday alcohol consumption and low audience turnover. Will the boys remain alley cats all winter? Or is there a change on the horizon?
There is. BuzzFeed, I'm 38. BuzzFeed told me I was going to meet a soulmate at 38, so
love
you're
it.
Screwed. See you guys. Back there on the Wheels of Steel, getting the studio all set up. Matt Comer, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Ted.
You know, it's funny. When we started this, right, we put the comma in there like Tyler, the Creator.
Yeah.
And I wasn't the biggest fan of his now. Now I love that rapper, and it's like I always forget because I remember Migs, right, who used to be STP, was like, are you guys just – and Steve never really gets upset, but he's like, dude, isn't that kind of like my thing? And I was like – No, that's not why we did that. We did it because of Tyler, comma, the creator.
Yeah, you wanted to just call me Matt the producer, and I was hesitant, and I was like, at least give me a comma.
Yeah, that is funny.
Yeah.
God, that was a long time ago.
Is Steve still angry?
No.
We got to have a heart-to-heart. I like how you also, throwing back to that, you still go, like, to the left of me. Actually, he's to the right of me, Cobb. Like, because you used to sit on the left of you in the old studio.
Yeah, what was that, like a year ago or something?
Over a year.
Over a year ago. At least like 16 months.
You know where I am.
And I don't know. I still don't know. Don't tell me, actually. But I don't know if you do that on purpose every time at this point. Like, if it just started as an accident, or if it's still just an honest mistake every time, because you're so used to it from, like, 4 years of saying it over there.
You know, I won't say that.
Yeah. Mystique. Sort of fun that way. Cobb knows. Most mysterious guy I know over here.
I've been...
See him every week.
Actively trying to be less mysterious.
You
like,
have.
Actively try to, like... You know, disseminate as much information about my whereabouts and goings on as possible. But I travel by alley, man. You know that.
Yeah, it's just how you are. It's not like a front of trying to like get people to wonder about you. It just happens as an effect.
Yeah. Well, you know,
I always like the conversations.
One of those dudes, I guess.
Where people are like, is he doing this? Is he doing that? I'm like, I don't know. And they're like, well, you're one of his good friends. Like, yeah, I know. He's mysterious.
That's how he is.
What do you want me to tell you? let's see. First of all, there's some new things in my life over the weekend I want to give a shout out to. Everybody knows, all of us. And actually, do you ever drink soda water, Kyle?
Yeah. Right. I'm about that La Croix life.
All right. I got a new one. Bubbly.
By Pepsi.
Is that who's making that? Pepsi?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if it's because the can is completely dark and looks more like a soda. I'm convinced they're better.
Hmm. I buy them as the 20-ounce bottles at the 7-Eleven across the street from me. Because all the other ones are 16.9 ounces. I like that extra 3.1 ounces of soda water.
You gotta get it in.
Value.
Yeah, so I'm with Bubbly. The best is still Safeway's in-house brand Refresh.
I beg to differ.
The
Walmart in-house brand.
Ooh.
For some reason, it's unbelievable. I think they just put more garbage in there. But unbelievable.
What was the ones you had from Austin? I like those.
Oh, Topo Chico?
Topo Chico.
Yeah, New super seasons. Bubbly. They just got bought by Coke, I believe.
Yeah, but I'm all over the bubbly stuff.
Yeah, I like the bubbles too.
Plus, like...
I'm telling you. Huh? Go ahead.
Wait, no, what's yours? Refresh?
Refresh from Safeway. They just changed the packaging, and they've gone up like over $1 for the 24 packs, but... They come in a nice 24-pack, so you just have one big box in the back seat. They have the most bubbles out of any that are readily available. I don't know where the nearest Walmart is. Would I have to go up to, like...
Bellevue.
Linwood? Okay. From Ballard?
Bellevue got one. People were pissed. Oh, from Ballard? Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Linwood.
Yeah, I think Linwood. But anyways, regardless, like...
But that's not a problem. Safeway's not within striking distance.
Ooh.
I have two QFCs.
See, I live...
Yeah, that Kroger
between
brand...
the triangular of the two QFCs and the Safeway.
All right, all right. And then the other thing is, too, is generally when I get groceries, I don't buy, like, I buy all my beverages at a corner store because I don't want to walk home
right.
Because it's much heavier.
That makes sense.
Yeah. That is the one issue, yeah, about not, like, driving to the grocery store to get stuff is, like, weight is a factor.
Yeah, you got to think about it.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Like, when my mom was in town and we got, as I say, the order for Thanksgiving, like, literally, I had to call an Uber because it was just, I was like, we're...
It's not happening.
Like me and you probably could have done it, but me and my 74-year-old mom were not hauling all that stuff back.
Take that as a compliment.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, man. I know what you mean. And like with grocery shopping, I usually shop just with a basket because then like at a certain point, I'm just pulled out of the store by like the weight and tiredness of my arm. And I'm like, all right, like you can't fit any more stuff in there.
Are you a basket guy, Ted?
No, I get the small, the cart you can push, but it's like the smaller one. It's got the two levels.
Yeah, I know you love your grocery stores.
I do, man. I was having a blast in there last night.
Dude's just saying he was in there for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
To get like $50. Actually, that's a lie. It was $60 worth of groceries.
You on that QFC Advantage card?
Are you kidding me? By the way.
Savings? Are you kidding me?
I know. So Joe's always like, can I get your number? And I'm like, yeah, why? And he's like, what about the gas? Like, I have never pumped any gas with my QFC savings.
Oh, you gave him the number? That's smart.
Oh, so you've just got just racked up 10 years of just bonus.
You get a dollar off for the next
Joe's
going to
be paying 3 cents
for
gas for the next decade. Wow.
That's smart.
The other shout out I wanted to give to is everybody knows about Pop Chips.
Oh, yeah.
But now they have a one with ridges in it.
I've seen those.
Woo! Sour cream and onion, ridges, pop chips. They're doing it.
I don't know that I've ever had a pop chip. Is it similar to a 3D Dorito?
No, it's just, they're just not fried.
I know of them. I just
They have right. blown up. Like they were, I remember eating them Santa Barbara. So it was 2009, 2010. And now they're everywhere. It's awesome because I loved them. There was one sandwich shop by where I worked that had them. And they also had really good sandwiches. And I was like, these things are awesome, but I couldn't find them anywhere else. And now they're in every grocery store.
Yeah, they're still a little bit harder to find, but I'm telling you, man, if you're looking like somebody like me that likes to snack, especially on the weekends, you try to just find little things you can do. I mean, I could lie to myself and be like, "Oh, I'm eating a Sun Chip," but we all know that's the same thing as eating a potato chip.
Yeah.
So the pop chips are just a little. You can eat like 20 of them, and it's only like going to be like 130 calories or something. So yeah. you can budget in like putting your hand in that bag.
And they don't sell gigantic bags. Like you can get the biggest bag available and crush it and still be in better shape than if you had like half of or like a king size whatever bag from 7-Eleven of the regular kind. So.
That's my thing. I can't buy chips because they're just gone instantly.
Yeah. I mean, you just got to find those little... There's definitely, like, a lot of habits to develop, but just little substitutes like that and yogurt-based Greek yogurt-based ranch dressing, like,
yeah.
Can take you a long way.
Yeah, like, I got my greens at home, right? Like, I have the yogurt Caesar dressing. So, like, I'm going to have a Caesar salad tonight, you know?
Since we're talking about, like, food and grocery shopping... Food again, weird. Not even 10 minutes in. But
I spent some time with both those products this weekend.
Just as far as grocery shopping goes, if you're trying to eat healthier and you don't know where the fuck to start, a good strategy is just pick what's on, well, stay on the outside. Yeah, you'll see more healthy stuff in there. But just like pick stuff a little bit healthier than you usually would that's on sale. Like start the experiment with the stuff that's on sale, because a lot of times when it comes to the produce section, that's the seasonal stuff that's on sale. And then also, like, when you said the Advantage card, I just love seeing how much I saved. So if you just go in and you're like, I'm going to eat moderately healthy and just kind of browse what's on sale, you don't need a super hardcore list like a lot of people recommend, which is a great strategy too. But a lot of times I just look for those little tags and then see how much I can save on when I put my phone number in at the end. It's fun to ring everything up and then put your phone number in at the very end. And then you see it. Some people put their phone number in right at the start, and it's like, dude.
I do that right away. I'm trying to get in and get out. Well,
so
I've spent
sad.
An hour and a half at the store. I just don't want to sit at the counter. By the way, QFC had the yogurt-based dressings on sale last week.
Ooh, good to know.
And those pop chips are 2 for $5.
Good to know, because I'm out here. I got some at home, but not here.
This is what life's turned into. Yo, the fire. Pop chips, ridges, cheddar and sour cream.
Welcome back to Coupon Clipping Seattle.
Did you watch
with your host, the always thrifty Ted Smith?
Yeah. Did either of you watch? Speaking of fire, did either of you watch the documentary on the fire?
Hell
festival?
Yeah, I did. Hell
I have not watched
I'm like
either one yet.
Halfway through it, not even.
Which one are you watching? Because there's two.
There's two. The one on Netflix.
Okay,
I've heard they're right because there's one on Hulu, which I don't have, and then the one on I haven't watched the one on Netflix. Maybe I'll watch it tonight.
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
And there's
go ahead.
There's a YouTube video that a guy named Internet Historian put out about it that had a lot of interesting things, but it was only like 10 minutes. But I'm enjoying the documentary, but Tyler, my girlfriend, we were watching it, so we got to finish it together. She was like, I was like, did you hear about this? And she's like, yeah, you guys talked about it on the podcast. And I was like, we did? I didn't
remember. The Fire Festival, you're saying?
Yeah. And I was like, we did? And she's like, yeah, that's... And I had no idea. I was like, we've done like 245 episodes. It's tough to keep track of everything, but...
Oh, yeah. We definitely talked about that festival.
It's a crazy story.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Insane.
The documentary is just... Like, you're just like... I just kept smacking my head like, what the f***? Every time.
Yeah. I remember just reading everything about that story with fascination, like as the news was coming out. So I don't... Nothing in the documentary to me was too shocking, just because I'd already like watched the car crash happen, you know?
Yeah.
But I've read a bunch of articles about it, and like, yeah, it's wild, man. You see people with that, like, just, you know, narcissistic personality and, like, classic. I mean, he wouldn't admit that, like, it was all going to implode until, like, it was imploding, and then finally he's like, oh, wow, okay, I can't just totally bend reality, but he was living in a different universe.
I'm still at the part of the movie where he's in denial. Where it's
yeah,
like
that's
clearly,
basically 98%
it's
of
clearly
the movie.
Imploding, but he is just not accepting that as a reality. And wow,
dude, even when that guy was out on bail from the fire stuff, he ran a scam to get $100,000, and they have it on camera because he had hired a guy to film him, like for his comeback or whatever, because he thought he wasn't going to jail.
Wow.
Here's my question: like, did a lot of regular people get duped, or was it mostly just the influencers?
Okay, I need to make a distinction here. By influencers, you don't mean people with a lot of money. You mean people with like a lot of followers?
Yeah.
Oh, the influencers actually probably made out the best because they had gotten like a bunch of them had gotten to come to the island for like their initial shoot. But really, it was like, yeah, like rich young people in New York and actually around the country really got screwed over the most. I mean, these are like, you know, $5,000 to $20,000 tickets and penthouses and stuff that they had bought that didn't exist.
I mean, everything I saw, it's the same damn dome we had.
Yeah, dude, I know.
They're FEMA tents left over from Hurricane Matthew.
Well, and those FEMA tents look exactly like that dome I originally bought.
They're the same dome.
It is the same dome.
And the
right?
thing is, but they were selling them as like private villas for like $20,000. And it was like, if you see, or private bungalows. And so, like, you see the bungalow picture on the web, and then you see, like, that FEMA tent. That, like, we didn't even take that to Burning Man. Thank God we would have died. But, like, we set it up once, maybe twice, one test run, one, you know what I mean? Like,
did we ever set it up a second time?
I don't know.
I don't think we did.
You know, was it just, wait, did you ever set it up at all? I think, didn't I set it up?
I never set it up once. I took it down.
Yeah. Dude, that's the thing. Like, that's how bad they were. They look really cool.
That thing was expensive.
Yeah, I know. It looked really cool, too. It sounded like a good idea on paper, but, you know how those things go. So, yeah, the documentary is really good, though. Highly recommend.
Did you see the guy in it with the job title, Music Festival Consultant?
No, but that doesn't shock me. They're a huge business.
Yeah.
It's an industry.
And when I saw it, it made sense. But, you know, like, I never would have in a million years considered that as a career path. I don't know how that guy landed that job, but it just seems awesome. But
it's probably like a tour manager or something previously. You know, logistics around music, I would guess.
Right.
In some capacity.
No, he seemed sharper than the guy that was putting it on. But,
sure.
Yeah, I was just like, I saw that job title and I was like, I didn't even.
Talking about the kind of yoga dude?
Yeah.
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 Well, I think that's the other thing, too, right? Like, now, granted, we've all been to a few festivals, but, like, you got to have something there, too. Like, you can have all the music acts you want, and, like, it still might not be that fun if there's no, like, soul to it.
Or sewage system.
Yeah. Right, but you
or
know what I'm saying.
Clean water, yeah.
Like I've been to plenty of shows where I'm like, all right, this is a cool show, but this is a concert,
right?
Like you can't just kind of force it to have that feeling of a festival.
Yeah, you need the existence of natural wonder, I would say, like whether that's a great forest, a cool beach, a river, what have you, a desert.
Yeah, I mean,
natural beauty.
Yeah, because even like, and they stopped it now. What was the one? Sasquatch. Like that was a festival, but I was always like. Yeah, you're just camping at the gorge, though.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, the line gets a little blurred at the gorge, I would say.
Yeah, what? somebody tried to say something. Was I don't know if it was Paradiso or Watershed or something. You know, I was like, it's a gorge weekend. I don't know.
I'm with you.
They're fun. I love the gorge. It's, you know, it's right there with Meltdown for things to do in the summer. Like, you know what I mean? Take my pick. But, yeah, I just consider it camping at the gorge. Like that's what you do when you go there.
That speaks, though, to how many shows you guys go to. You know what I mean? Because like we're sitting here being like, well, like, is it technically a Sauvignon Blanc? If you know what I mean? Like, you guys go to a lot of shows. You have a pretty nuanced understanding. You know, I can totally see how somebody who goes like a couple things a year is like, yeah, it was a festival.
Yeah, I also feel like that word gets thrown around way too much anyhow.
Sure does.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. It's almost like when you know, what was that, 2011, we went to Meltdown the first time. And it was like, cool, like, I almost feel now like I'm a douche when I'm like, oh, I like to go to festivals.
Yeah.
It's like everybody goes to fucking festivals.
They're very
trendy.
It
has gotten much more popular. Although, generally speaking, I'm happy about that. And let me tell you why. I feel like it's I don't even know how you describe that. It's, I guess on a basic level, it's like a shared sort of quasi-spiritual connection and experience amongst people. Even just being outside and watching a moving piece of music together, I feel like is a really nice sense of community and connection for people. And so multiply that by something that is a really good festival like Shambhala or Meltdown or Burning Man, whatever, and people feel that sense of community that I think oftentimes is lacking in our modern day, like super capitalistic driven society. So I'm pro anybody going to anything that they want to call a festival and feeling connected to everyone else because we're all nodes on a network. So
that's fair.
Yeah.
And that was I remember the first time I left Meltdown. My buddy was like, what'd you think? And I was like, I didn't know a ton of the music at the time. And I still don't. Sorry. But I was like, I just like the community of it.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just fun.
Yeah, it was fun. It kind of reminds me.
Wait a minute, I was talking to you. I'm like, wait a minute. I was driving
home.
I think I was driving home in White Lightning with you. I'm like, wait a minute. That was Cobb.
Some guy, man.
Some guy. Still one of the best chocolate milks I ever had in my life.
Yeah. Yeah, man, that first year was fun. All of them have been fun. And I just like, I love feel. It kind of like takes you out of the like consumerist mentality for a little bit. That's what I love about Burning Man, that people can't sell anything, can't advertise anything, whatever. But it pulls you out of that and sort of connects you back in a weird way to like both like grounding to nature and where we come from, but then also on the like other end of the spectrum, like the spiritual non-material plane and the interconnectedness between all of us. So that's what I really like about it. It makes me feel like, oh yeah, like we're just a tribe and just like some, you know, ape humans running around on this rock. Like, all right, cool. Yeah, we got this. Life's not that stressful. And so it's nice to come up for air every once in a while.
Yeah. All right. The thing I've had written down for a week, and I'm sure I'm going to catch heat about this one. Did you guys see the Sounders unveiled their new kit, their new jersey for this year?
At Pike Place Market.
Right.
I was in a meeting about it today.
So the sponsor of that is Zulily. Now, unbeknownst to me, I didn't know Zulily.
Biggest company no one's ever heard of. Biggest company no guys have ever heard of.
Correct. That's the only thing I knew about it, was that it basically, like, their Instagram looks like it's pretty curtailed towards women or whatever. Now, I get it. They have men's stuff, too.
Billions,
right?
Yeah. Daryl Cavins.
But I didn't know that, right? So here's my whole thing, is that when they unveiled it, I just went, I think that's stupid. Like, I think the font looks silly. Like, I just don't like it. But then there was all these Sounders fans who were very defensive and were like, well, if you don't like Zulily, you just, it's your toxic masculinity and this and that. Oh. And I was just like, look, I am a pretty liberal person, but like, I cannot like something that doesn't, you know what I mean? That doesn't mean I'm a sexist.
Yeah.
Like, I thought, and this is the example I keep using, I thought Manchester United looked stupid with that Chevy across their kits. Like, I was like, that doesn't look right. So, like, the rain jerseys, I think, look awesome. But I'm just like, it really just fired me up. It's like, I can't believe you're turning me into one of these people. It's like, because I have a penis, like, I don't get to have an opinion. And because it was, and I get it, they have men's stuff, but because it started as a woman's brand, like, I can't like it. Like, what if I dated a girl that had a bad experience with Zulily?
Yeah, outrage culture has gotten a little out of hand, if you ask me. Like, when the Gillette thing happened, I never watched the video. I don't know what it was all about, but people on both sides were pissed about different things, and I didn't know who was offended about what. Granted, I didn't actually take the time to watch it. I just saw people on both sides on the internet like complaining about things, and I was like, I don't understand. So I feel you. People are.
Yeah, I think there's a couple factors at play. I mean, one, all of us, like one of the six human needs is like the need to feel significant, and a lot of people get that through victimhood or feeling like, you know, outraged or attacked or threatened, whatever. So there's that piece of it that some people just get significance from like being upset about it and like being like, this is about turning it so it's about them. But then like the other piece of it is like, I mean, there are people who have been systemically persecuted through time, you know, over time. And like, I totally hear that, but I think it's now started to run amok. And like, if you're a white guy in America, like, you basically can't have an opinion now, or you're racist, sexist, homophobic, whatever. But what they don't realize is the inverse is also true, which is saying like, whoa, well, you have white male privilege. It's like, all right, that is racist. And that is like, you know, like calling out someone's gender immediately. And it's like, well, like, are you not drawing the same type of lines that you're saying that they're drawing?
Well, and that's the thing. Like, I have no issue saying like, yeah, there is white male privilege. But on the same token, it doesn't answer everything. There was a woman, a black woman, who was doing an interview with a guy on Fox, not Fox News, but Fox Nation or whatever. So he's talking about his qualification. She goes, well, that's just because you're a white male and you have privilege or this and that. And the guy was offended because he's black.
Yeah.
And like, for me, I look at her and I go, look, you're not at this point, like, you're not helping. Like, you didn't even listen to what he said. You just wrote it up. And again,
right.
I do think there is a white privilege, especially for a straight male. But like, the Zulily thing had me going crazy. I was just like, can't I just not like it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, aesthetically, you're saying?
But everybody, like, half my Twitter feed, and I like a lot of these people, were just like, if you don't like it, you're toxic, and get out of my feed, I'll block you.
Yeah.
I'm just like, you're so fucking defensive that it makes me hate it even more.
Yeah. It's like, people can't have opinions now, you know? And it's not like you're saying, like, burn it and, like, you know, death to Zulily or to women who like it. You're just like, I don't like the look of that jersey for a team that I like. Who cares? You know,
yeah,
like,
I don't.
No big deal.
Honestly,
aesthetic,
like, again,
opinion.
Right. Like, I'm not a United fan. I thought the Chevy thing looked stupid on them. I don't know why Arsenal. It seems weird to me that on our arms we have a visit Rwanda.
Yeah, well, and you know what's very crazy,
like, right? And it's like, again, and you're asking me to plop down, what's an official jersey?
60 bucks.
60, 80 bucks, yeah.
Well, the thing is, at least like with that, you're talking about an opinion. Like that's clearly your opinion, and someone could have the alternate opinion, and both of you could make their case. But what it upsets me is when you're talking about a proven scientific fact that they're saying, you're just saying this because of blank gender or, you know, race or whatever. And it's like, look, man, like this is fleshed out by the research, by like hundreds of thousands of surveys or by psychometrics or, you know, however. And it's just like, this is what the data and the science say. Like, this has nothing to do with my opinion, but you see people like, you know, attacking the person rather than the research. And it's just like, there's no getting through to some people like that, you know? And so, yeah, I think it, all in all, it's a really bad direction for us as a country, you know? I think
it's too extreme on both ends.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's going to be detrimental. I think we're just seeing the very vanguard of that whole thing really take effect in the workplace. But yeah,
I think it muddles up serious stuff that we should talk about.
I was going to say the same thing. Like actual true victims, you know, versus someone who had their feelings hurt. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like this wasn't a big issue. And I'm just like, I have a hard time. Number one, almost to a detriment, I don't lie. Like I'm not a liar. So I can't stand liars, right? That's one thing that drives me insane. But I also can't stand people that are super defensive. Like, what are you so defensive about? Like, obviously you're guilty of something.
Right.
Right?
You care about this way too much.
Right. Like, I just was like, and it's also for me, it was a simple thought. Zulily, that's weird. That looks kind of odd. I don't think I'm going to buy one. That's it.
But you took the opinion to Twitter?
No, nope. I didn't. Because there was people on there that I legit like in my Sounders community who were so fired. I was like,
they were tweeting about people that don't like
I'm a sexist.
Already being not, you sent one out and they were all replying.
I was just reading their stuff and I thought a couple times of typing it in there and I just went, you know what, it's not fucking working.
And this is just because it's like, a women's focused company?
Correct. So their whole thing was just like, if you don't like it, you know, and they sell men's stuff too. It's like, well, also, you know what else? I wouldn't know because to go to their website, I got to sign in. All right, I'm out.
Yeah, that's absurd.
So, I mean, what it reminded me of was the Maryland football thing a few months ago. And you were like, hey, you can't just call for the president's head. Like, it's got to go through this and that. And I was like, no. And I still, and they should have been fired. And the president did resign, effective, I think, like this spring or something. Right. But I was just like, oh, man, I can't believe I got caught up in that part of the culture, too. Like, all of a sudden, I'm the a-hole. And I'm just like, dude, I just don't like the logo. And I think the font looks silly.
Well, and that's where I feel like people get persecuted the most. And oftentimes it happens to be white male talking heads on TV. But it's like people get persecuted for being like, let's see the evidence. Like, but people immediately, like, they say something happens, one person's version of events, and everyone's like, yep, let's fire, you know, whoever it is from their TV job or their, you know, like this career that they've spent 40 years building. And it's like, okay, let's like hold on for just a second. Let's just see, what does this person have to say? What does the evidence show? Okay, and then let's make our determination versus, like, obviously, you know, in culture now, like, with the internet, I mean, they can just, we've seen 15 careers in the last 2 years just torched in a weekend, you know, like, oh, ABC fired whoever over the weekend. And it's like, okay, maybe they looked at the evidence, but maybe they were just like, people online are so mad and they had this, like, visceral overreaction. Oh, man, there's some name for that in terms of psychological biases. I can't remember what it's called.
Dude, just think about the fact that Trump is president and Billy Bush can't get a job.
What?
Billy Bush cannot get a job because he was on the tape. He was the one talking to Trump when the infamous grab him by the pussy tape.
Oh.
So Trump is president. Billy Bush can't get back in the business.
Huh.
Whoa.
Think about that.
That's crazy.
Or there was a guy announcing basketball games for some college, and off mic, he said the guy was a black hole that never passes the ball. And they fired him. Like, that's a basketball term. Like, I've heard that. I don't care what sport you are. Like, everybody says it. Like, oh, he's a black hole. You're passing the ball, you're never getting it back.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, people are just so sensitive. And like, that guy, you know, I don't know that person specifically, but in general, like, these are people who worked years and decades to make their career. And, like, so something like Louis C.K. is a good example. Like, immediately people were calling for his head. And it's like, well, like, let's see what happened first. And then, like, once you see what happens, like, all right, yeah, that was pretty crazy. And now, like, people don't want him to be able to come back and whatever else. I don't really have an opinion on it, except that just people are so quick to go to the, like, most extreme punishment instead of how our judicial system works, which is like, all right, Let's see the evidence on both sides. Make your cases, and then let's, you know, figure out something, an appropriate punishment.
But also our judicial system, never forget, just works on who has the most money.
I mostly agree with that. I would say 90% of the time that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's very little justice in our judicial system. But the principle is a good one, which is let's hear the evidence from both sides and then make, you know, an equitable decision based on what we've heard, rather than like hearing one side, believing that to be true just because the other person is a male or whatever. Like you see it with some of those false rape cases. But like as soon as you get accused of rape or like, you know, whatever, like there's a bunch of different things, but like it's so hard to defend yourself out of that. Even in like a he said, she said, like if someone said that you raped her, Ted, it's very difficult to get, you know, out of that hole. Like you start.
Yeah.
You know, and like, especially when the media persecutes someone, and then to get a fair trial, you know, it's not
but
easy.
I will say on the flip side, though, you got that ass swimmer kid who was all rich and raped a girl.
That's the thing is like you
like I think there's more people that get away with it.
Is that the one in California or North Carolina?
California.
Yeah,
I think Berkeley.
I remember that. Yeah.
The outrage culture over a jersey or a Gillette commercial or whatever, like, just sickens me. But this Me Too stuff that is kind of tied into it, and there are harsh reactions. Like, you got to understand how many of these things happen and don't get reported because the girls feel shame and this and that. And, like, I think that's one where it's like, hey, man, I understand that just being a guy who's been single for a lot of years and, like, trying to walk the line of, like, being confident and masculine to make the first move, like, you know, like, I haven't crossed any lines to my knowledge, you know? And if me trying to just, like, have fun and get laid, like, felt like crossing a line to some girl and she says some things, like, you know, that's a disaster, right? But the fact is like that's the climate that we find ourselves in, any one of us, right? Like we've all been trying to get laid and have a good time and like not be a rapist, obviously, right? And
every day.
So yeah, right? Both those. Exactly. But the fact that like that's a like I feel like, man, that's what it's come to because of all these assholes that were actually raping people over the years and like them, but it that's sucks true. That we're in that situation, but like welcome to life, like one person screws it up for everybody and then we all, like that's very common, but I think I can feel that way about me too and still feel like okay, but outrage culture as a whole, like shut up about a commercial, I didn't even watch the thing, but both sides are yelling about it, it's just a company's marketing ploy, like everybody calm down. And like Ted doesn't need to like the Zulily logo on his favorite team's kits. Like that's
right. I'm still gonna buy hoodies or still go to the game.
Yeah.
I think also too, it's so weird, right? Because when you're talking about something as serious as rape or sexual misconduct in Louis C.K.'s case, like you know that Me Too stuff. Like all right, but then you know some of the other stuff. It's tough. But there's a difference, right? Like that's one thing. Now, if we're talking about how to approach women, like it's still the world. And like, we're still expected to kind of make the initial, you know,
not
say
even
something.
The initial, like to advance the storyline, you know. And women are like, oh, men aren't like masculine nowadays. And you're like, well, like, I mean, you guys kind of brought this on yourself. Like, I also don't want to like put you in a position where it feels weird. I mean, like, I can think of like myself in like I've been like in bed with someone like making out with him or whatever, and like you sense some hesitation. And you're just like, oh, hey, are you like, cool? Like what? And it's like you're immediately like throw the brakes on. Like, look, you do not need to do anything you don't want to do. It is all good.
It's so weird.
We don't have to get naked. You know what I mean? But then they'll like, no, like I kind of, you know, want to whatever, but they like don't want to seem like they want to. It's like a weird dance,
it's so
man.
Weird.
It's a very weird dance because they don't want to seem. Here's what it is: they don't want to seem easy, which I think is good, but they also like they want you to you know pursue them. They want to resist a little bit, but then also it's like the dynamic between like the masculine and the feminine, and that's not necessarily to say between a man and a woman, but between the masculine and the feminine, that sort of polarity. But it's a, you know, it's one thing, like, if you view it as a dance and a fun sort of tension, But if one person isn't attracted to the other, all of a sudden, like, that's super creepy
it's
and weird.
Super
same,
weird.
Same
right.
move.
And girls can be physically intimidated just by the fact that they're
Vice
alone
versa.
With a guy that's, you know, way stronger or whatever.
Yep.
And
I totally get
so
that.
So they're just going to go with it, even though they're super uncomfortable, and they're going to try and not make it seem that way. Like,
some of those cases are weird when they say the next day they change their mind.
That's the thing. You hear about this, and then I'm like, oh, damn, dude, like, what have I done? And I'm like, I thought I was just having good times with good intentions, like, you know what I mean? And just that being single and just having a good time. And I had to tell a single girl the other day, like, she's talking about, and I was like, look, if you like these guys, don't play cute about it, because I have a girlfriend, luckily, but if I was a guy right now, I would be petrified to be making assertive moves. Like, with all this stuff that's in the media and, you know, things, and obviously some of those accusations are you know, for attention or money or whatever. Like, there's some degree of that. I hope it's a small one, but you know, it's like, regardless, I think single guys, you guys can tell me, but I would feel like I'd be walking on eggshells. And I told this girl, like, if you like someone, give them some strong signs. Like, it's 2019, they will appreciate it.
Do you ever feel like you get mixed signals, Ted? Green light and red light are on at the same time.
Yeah, 100%.
Yellow light's flashing.
And then, right, if I don't do anything, then it's like, well, you had your shot. You didn't do anything. And it's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Right? Or it's like, yeah, that's a weird one. Well, it's like I think we talked about this after the cast. It's like the friend zone thing. So in the last year, it's like, well, just because you're a nice guy and a friend doesn't mean you should expect her to like you. Cool. I'm fine with that. But then on the same token, like, that person shouldn't have a relationship with you like that, because that's a different than a friendship.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, too.
You kind of got people, like, this we're talking about the mixed signals.
Yeah, like, he never made his move, or the, like, yeah, you're in the friend zone. And the thing is, like, women have way higher social IQ in general than guys do. And because of that, like, they are much more subtle about stuff. And they're like, that's an obvious clue. But, like, for guys, we're a little more north-south, and it's a lot tougher to pick up on some of those subtle hints. Like, the other day, I was on the phone with somebody, and it was a female, and I was checking out at, it wasn't the grocery store, what was it? I don't know, I was checking out somewhere, and I was talking to, it was at Whole Foods down in Inner Bay, and I was talking to this girl on the phone, checking out, and I said something, and we were talking about, like, the burritos I was buying or something like that, and the bag girl said something to me, like, oh, those are my favorite burritos, something like that, like, simple, you know, comment, whatever. I walk out, and she was like, oh, she was hitting on you, was she cute? And I was like, what? I was like, that is hit it. She was like, she was definitely interested. You could hear in her voice. And I was like, you have got to be kidding me. It was like a 20-year-old Asian chick. I do not think she was hitting on me. She was like, 100% she was hitting on you. I was like, that was the most subtle hit on someone ever. And like, if they're throwing little like fades like that, we got no chance.
Yeah. And look, I mean, I've done it, right? Like, I've gone on a date with a girl, had some drinks or whatever, and then like, she spent the night in my bed. I did not have sex with her. But
yeah,
I was
totally.
Just like, all right, like, cool. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I've been there when it's been awkward. It's like, all right. And then, like, she hit me up later, like, why didn't I'm like, are you serious? Like, you, like,
yeah.
Like, it's pretty, like, for me, it's pretty simple. You put up a stop sign, stop.
Yeah.
Dude, so,
totally.
Yeah, I don't, it,
it's tough to tell.
It's weird
times.
I think
it's so freaking weird right now.
I think on
now.
Both sides, you guys can tell me what you think about this, but, like, it can improve the situation if girls are a little bit more blunt and obvious with their signals when they're into a guy. And then, you know, we can add some clarity there. And on the guy's end, like, I do think there's a certain level of, because of this touchy climate, like, obviously guys have it, are in a weird spot too. And there's not a ton of sympathy for that situation coming from women, because women are outraged about the fact that all these other women have actually been sexually assaulted and raped. And that's way bigger than the fact that we're uncomfortable. And that is true. And the guys, in turn, need to not hold it against women and hold it against fucking rapists and guys that are contributing to that stuff. You know, I think people blow the whole rape culture thing out of proportion. Like, sorry, I noticed a girl in front of me in line had a nice ass. Like, I swear I'm not a part of rape culture. But there is, like, you gotta, you know, guys do kind of posture, you know, if you see a guy acting inappropriately, like, you got to be a man and step up about it.
Yeah, I agree.
And call him out and make it uncomfortable for him. And, you know, you should, especially if it's in public,
Yeah, I think this guy's duty. I feel obligated to protect women in some respect.
Right. So, I mean, I think, you know, just directing any hostility for the situation that guys find themselves in, like, it's the other dudes that are raping chicks that caused this.
Well, and trust me, and I do agree with you. I think part of the problem, too, is, like, we got to stop calling women whores. Like, women want to have sex, too.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Like, their sex drive isn't going down. Like, they want to go get laid.
A lot of them have way higher sex drives than guys.
Yeah.
Doesn't it develop more as they age?
That would not shock me.
Isn't that...
Unless you're married, then they try to tell you it slows down.
Accurate.
I'm just... Sorry, no I had that comment. Conversation with somebody once. Well, I'm over
with
30.
Somebody once.
Yeah, my sex drive is slowing
nice,
down. Like,
dude.
That's not what science
conversation
helps.
Conversation with somebody that's once.
Not, like, that's not how cool science works.
Not what the research shows. It's me.
Yeah, man. Women, what are you going to do?
Yeah, anyhow. So I guess the point of all of this is I just like... I just don't like their logo on the kit. Right? That's all I ever want.
Well, don't buy one, Ted.
I'm not. And I haven't bought
Bolt
one in a couple.
Dollar.
I haven't bought one in a couple years. Anyhow, just I called.
If you
somebody,
hate women, just say it.
You know me. Nobody can ever hear me talk about wanting to meet warm women. Matt, goddamn, did you see?
I did the podcast last week. You were like, I was listening back to it. And you're like, yeah, man, I just. Gotta meet more women, hang out with women who are near women, or whatever, like something like that. It was like a whole like little like train of thought of you just like, it's like, yeah, man, just, you know, need more women in my life. Was,
I couldn't remember if I texted Cobb or not, but I wanted to text you last week one morning as I woke up. It might have been after our podcast. I was talking about trying to meet more chicks. And I read an article about this frog or toad, whatever, amphibian. And for 10 years, he'd been living alone as they thought he was the last frog of his kind. So the headline just says, like, frog after 10 years meets a new girlfriend. And I was like, motherfucker, that frog got a girl before Cobb and I could?
Frog got a girlfriend.
You gotta be kidding me.
It is hard time.
Damn.
That's all funny, man. But true.
Right? I bet that frog's getting laid right now.
Yeah, dude. Oh, man. He's living the dream.
Swimming around.
Sick son of a bitch.
God, we got some emails.
Yeah, we do. None from any ladies out there. Oh, one from a lady. Ted, you spend the night at McMiniman's Anderson School? Rad. I used to go. It's from Michelle.
Nice.
Rad. I used to go there a few years with the YMCA as part of the before-school morning program, where the check-in for a hotel is located is where I used to practice violin before fifth grade, and the restaurant on the same side was the cafeteria where our Y program was held. I love what McMiniman's did with the place, and I'm so excited for the Elks building their revamping for Tacoma. It's right on the waterfront, within walking distance, one of my favorite tiki bars, the Devil's Reef. I hear the Elks building will also have a tiki bar like Anderson, so I'm pretty excited to have two cool places to tiki it up this summer. Michelle. Yeah, that school is going to be dope. Those two, they had two buildings. Now they just have the one. But yeah, it's beautiful. It looks out over the whole bay. Are you familiar with this?
Right, yeah, by the one in Tacoma.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. Yeah, by the way, you know, how should I phrase this? Hint. You know what? I just think we need to get back down to Michelle and Revs.
Okay.
Fair. I really like their house. It was a lot of fun.
Their house is dope.
We also need to go visit Drew at Ludisport. So we should just do a day Tacoma trip.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's just me. Seems like a cool place to watch Super Bowl. I don't know.
Oh,
I didn't even think about that.
Oh, man, we were talking about Super Bowl plans.
Well, Wing King, sorry, you don't know this, but I don't know what I'm doing on Super Bowl, but me and you are going to be together.
Okay. Like, I'm going to be working.
Son of a bitch, because it's Sunday.
No, I said I'm going to be working like in the kitchen.
Making the wings.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I mean, I'll work that night, but I don't drink. It's fine.
All right. Yeah, I came up the other day. I was just like, even if it's just like the three of us or four of us with your girl at my house, I was like, I got to get the Wing King back in action. I haven't had any of your wings in forever.
They're good. I mean, it's a little while ago. We used the hotter sauce, and I like them. Their wings are the one thing that, like, if they're pretty hot, like, I usually like it. I just...
Maybe for Super Bowl, we'll bring them back down.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, I got complaints from my girlfriend who always likes spicier food than me. And, like I said, the buffalo flavor on a chicken wing is, like, you know, I can handle some heat with that better than, like, any other situation. They were definitely hot and, like, you know, you feel it, like, in your stomach little bit later, and it's like, I feel so alive. But
yeah, belly's rumbling.
But that's not what chicken wings are always about, so we'll get the regular hot sauce.
That's sweet heat, baby. To the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
I'm going to give you fair warning. This email might be a bit long. I've been a short-time listener, about a year now, but I've listened to everything I can get my ears on. I want to start out by saying I can feel that 2019 will be straight fire and pure energy on the podcast.
Yeah. Big dick energy.
Hell yeah.
Dude. Oh, by the way, great title.
Bringing that 2019 energy. Keep up the awesome work. Towards the end of 2018, I think it was mentioned on the first two episodes of 2019, you guys talk about resolutions. Up until recently, I truly have not cared so much about them. Every day is just a new day to dredge through. You guys have started to open my eyes to new idealism, perspective, and insight on day-to-day life. With this new look on life, I decided to actually make a resolution this year. This is the year of rebirth for me. At least that's what I'm calling it right now. A year to separate the toxic people and things, including my old self, out of my life. Matt, you mentioned a few times about your past struggles with alcoholism and that you found a book to help you with this. If you could email me the name of the book, that'd be very much appreciated.
I'll plug it every chance I get. Yeah. The Easy Way to Stop Drinking by Alan Carr. That was the newest edition is called Stop Drinking Now, and it's not actually by Alan Carr. So find The Easy Way to Stop Drinking. I like it way better. So you'll need to find it used, most likely. So you check eBay or Amazon, whatever they call their marketplace, or used stuff. But new on Amazon, they'll direct you to Stop Drinking Now, which, like I said, I read it. I was further removed from having been drinking, but it just felt like harsh and different and not as eye-opening. So I would recommend The Easy Way to Stop Drinking by Alan Carr. Find the original.
I've been in and out of AA now for at least 3 years, trying to beat, at the very least, control the grasp alcohol has had over me since I was 13, 28 now. Currently, have 192 days sober under my belt. Nice. As a whole, I would like to ask you all for some good reads in 2019, preferably nonfiction. I just got done reading The Subtle Art of Not Giving a F**k, an awesome read on devoting energy to things that really matter to you. Boys, any books?
Sapiens. I'm in the middle of it right now, and it's a look at human history, which I never cared about history ever. It was my least favorite subject by a mile, and this, the way it's written, just like makes me think about my perspective on, you know, where I fit into all the time that this planet's been around, and it's really crazy to hear how we've evolved, and yeah, I'm loving it. So it's nonfiction and it's really interesting.
I haven't read a book in a while. Not even gonna front.
I would probably go with one that's a really short, easy read. I recommend a lot, called The Slight Edge. It's nice just for, like, I don't know. It's a good change your life type book.
Yeah, it's a good rebirth.
And then another one that I would say is there's a couple of lectures by the clinical psychologist Jordan Peterson about cleaning your room and sort of slowly making friends with your darker side and getting your life together slowly over time. Essentially, his main idea is that, obviously, like, you know, in Buddhism and many religions, it's agreed upon that life is suffering, is sort of the basic premise. And what he says essentially is, like, make it so that all of that suffering that we know is endemic to life is worth it by improving your life slowly over time with little things you can do. So I would recommend that.
If you're on the go, he's had some great appearances on various podcasts. Joe Rogan, Aubrey Marcus, both come to mind. But yeah, I love Jordan Peterson. His book's tough to read. I had to keep going back.
Which one?
12 Rules for Life.
Oh, 12 Rules for Life. Just, yeah, that's a pretty good book.
Yeah, it was really dense. Good, but it was dense, and I found myself rereading paragraphs, so I really like that you sent him to YouTube. And
yeah, good,
you
know, one to read with a
pen. Podcasts on the go is easier. Like, every time he's been on Joe Rogan, like, I've been on fire for the next month plus, at least.
Yeah, he's solid. And also, I recommend reading with a pen. It just gets you more in the zone for, like, underlining stuff and whatever else.
To follow along, you mean?
No. Just having one behind your ear or whatever. Just,
oh, to write stuff.
Yeah, I mark up books like crazy. It makes it way, I don't know, a little better experience, I would say. I get more out of it.
I used to do that.
I just have to tip my hat to you, gentlemen, for the amazing work you do. LARP on. Don. P.S. I hate to bring this up again, but I'm going with pancakes over waffles. Purely because of the ease of making them and the spreadability factor of the toppings. I'm a jam guy myself. With that said, French toast is king.
Wow, I gotta get that French toast.
Yeah, man. I had some French toast like 2 weeks ago on a Saturday night at like 4 in the morning. I woke up, couldn't sleep, walked over to Lost Lake Cafe, had some French toast.
Are you serious?
That nice. I couldn't sleep? Or yeah.
Yeah, that you got up and actually walked over to Lost Lake.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. I do half my life is at night, man.
One of my clients told me, like, at a certain point, if your mind's racing, like, don't just do whatever your mind's racing about. So, yeah, getting up and going to eat food or waking up and smoking some spliffs and watching Impractical Jokers, whatever it is, like...
All right, that's if it's like 4, especially like I'm like all right, I'm gonna go get stoned and then watch some Tube. They just go back to sleep.
Yeah.
Afternoon.
Shout out to the Sleep Timer.
Afternoon, gents. I finally caught up on the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Today's topic about museums caught me. Like Cobb, I'd probably open something niche. That maybe 5 people would ever visit. After a 4,500-mile road trip a few years ago where we just randomly camped and visited ghost towns, I had an interest sparked in me. So I think a museum about the mining history and ghost towns of Washington would be cool. I believe there is one called the Gold Rush Museum in Pioneer Square. Anyway, thanks for the great content each week, and keep on rocking. Listening to all the Washington talk keeps me pumped to move back this summer. Sincerely, Dustin Lake Goodwin, but stuck in Norfolk till August.
Oh, Navy guy.
Yep.
People should listen to the podcast with a pen for all the smart little things Cobb mentions.
Yeah, that's a good call. Also, man, this summer is going to be fun. It's going to be a little different for me, but it's going to be a blast.
It's going to be a good one. I think the whole year is going to end up, on balance, being a great one.
It's going to be, yeah.
And just
it's going to be a weird one for me, too.
It's getting this out now. I ain't going to be in a shirt.
Shirtless summer.
Be no shirts.
Not walking up and down the street, but I mean, as soon as we get to a ball, you're like, it's gone. Actually, I'm going to end up fucking sunburned all summer.
Well, probably. No, you just get that first, one, and then you're good. Like, if you keep your shirt off enough, yeah, it'll be rough in like June. There's like one, and it kind of hurts for a couple days, and then your skin's fine.
Yeah.
That's what I've found as a really pale guy who spends a lot of time with his shirt off in Washington. When it's nice out.
Yeah, I got to get over to your dad's house, too.
We got to get him in here. We had talked about doing that night. We went to the dinner. I got to hit him up. I sent him a long email. I'll talk about it what's happening, I guess. But.
Yeah, and I texted him on my birthday, too.
Oh, that's right. You did.
Yeah. To the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Matt, it was good to see you again on Saturday night. I wasn't feeling that good that night, but I enjoyed the show as best I could. Ted, I did not see you on Saturday. If you didn't show up, no worries. I really like the theme this year of listen and learn. Sometimes nice. I kick ass at it, or it kicks me in the ass. Either way, I need to learn from both sides. Cobb, did you enjoy the banana bread I made for you? Hope to see you guys in the new year, and I promise I won't cry in front of Cobb. Stevie, the Packers fan. Stevie, you can cry in front of me anytime. I don't view tears as a sign of weakness in a man. I view them as a sign of strength.
Oh, phew.
And the banana bread was delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah. I woke up one morning, and there was a lot of it gone, Stevie. Stevie, I was there. It was freaking packed.
Yeah.
And then like I went upstairs for a while, but then I couldn't get a good angle. So then I went downstairs and was sitting kind of basically where the performers' wives hang out on the right stage. Because like Sid, Miggs's wife, and Tawny, Glenn's wife, were like right in front of me. Yeah. So anyhow, so I was moving around, but I was definitely there. Is that kill us or good us for Are we done with emails?
Yes, sir.
All right, well, that's about that. Oh, no. We got to check in with Matt.
Before we get with Matt.
Whew. What's good? What's Matt?
Listen.
Check out what's happening.
Hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Before we get to what's Matt.
Hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Check out what's Matt.
This is like a remix. Listen and learn. The 2019 edition of the intro.
We should do it like Migos.
I don't get that one.
So just say listen and learn.
Listen and learn.
Learn. Oh. You know what I mean? Like you always get, somebody has to always copy listen and somebody's gonna be like, learn.
Hey. We listen. We learn. We listen and we learn.
Hey.
Hey. What it is. Hey.
Sorry, Matt. Go ahead.
It's fine. we were talking about Saturday night. That was a ton of fun. Terrence's birthday, obviously. Woodshed and Bruiser Brody were playing at the Crocodile together. We all had dinner for Terrence's birthday, met nearby together.
Belltown Pub?
I was going to say, I guess we can say it now that it's passed.
Yeah.
Belltown Pub. That was a ton of fun. And then we went to the show, and that was great. Of course, Woodshed and Bruiser Brody both were just, like, on fire. Those were killer sets from both of them. The night before that, we went over to my parents' house. My dad was out of town, but we went out to dinner with my mom, and that was nice, and just had a good time. And then we went over there because the day before, Thursday night, I was here, and... you're talking about crying. Like, I broke down in the sound because of a song. The Cats in the Cradle. Have you heard that one?
Yeah, Cats in the Cradle. With the
yeah, I never listened to the lyrics. My dad told me. Yeah, my dad told me a long time ago, like.
Who's that? Is that Cat Stevens?
No, it's.
I just want to say that because it's Cat in the Cradle.
Right. Oh, damn it. I looked his name up because I listened. I don't remember. Chaplin? Harry Chaplin? Henry Chaplin? I don't know.
Not Cat in the Hat.
The night before, I was thinking a lot about my dad and how awesome he is and how grateful I am for our relationship. And then that song came on right when I got to work. And that song's all about a dad and his son, and they can't make time for each other throughout life. And it kind of passes them by, and it's a goddamn shame. But there's parts of that that I think are true in every father-son relationship, where the dad has to, you know, make a living and you know, provide for the kid and can't be there for everything. And so some of that, like, kind of resonated. But I was really just thinking about, like, how great of a job my dad did not making this song about us. Like, making it so we didn't resemble this. And I was just so happy about it. But also, you know, anytime that he did miss something that I was doing because he was traveling or working, like the fact that he felt bad about that when I feel this way about how great of a man he is and how great he raised me and everything he did for me was, like, really tough for me to grasp. And then, like, when it talks about the son not having the time for the dad, every fucking time I've done that flashes into my brain. And, you know, I feel like kind of an a-hole about it, but obviously, you know, it happens as part of life, and it's not a, you know, chronic recurring problem in our relationship. And then at the end of it, you know, it's just kind of comes full circle, and you realize, like, they both had the same behavior patterns, and it's like, man, that's a shame for those two. Like, I you know, I feel for the fictional characters that this song's about, because I'm so damn grateful for everything that my dad's done for me. And that all just hit me like a ton of bricks while I was listening to it. And then I pulled up the lyrics to kind of follow along.
That's how I always do.
Yeah. And then I watched it again on a lyric video on YouTube. And I was just in there crying my eyes. Like, no resistance to it. Of course, I'm like, these are great tears. This is a powerful moment. Like, I'm into it. And, you know, at one point I'm laughing because I'm not really a crier. And I'm like, what is going on here? Like, okay, it's fine. You got a good break in life. Like, because that's something that a lot of times we don't have much control over, right? So, like, but I was having this big, powerful moment, and I'm, like, crying. And I finally, after the second listen, like, you know, get myself together a little bit. But, like, my eyes are still all puffy. My nose is running or whatever. And I walk out thinking, like, man, I'm glad I'm the only one here. There's a street teamer I've never met before right outside.
Oh.
Outside the door. And she's like, hey. And I didn't know if she could tell, but I was like, I'm not going to, like, downplay it. I'm like, hey, I was just crying in there. Like, nice to meet you. I'm Matt.
Welcome to KSW.
She's like, I know who you are.
Rock. The Rock is crying.
Exactly.
The Rock don't play games.
Yeah. It was so funny. So, yeah, I don't know. It was, and I just wrote him a long email kind of telling him how I felt, because it's like, you know, a lot of things in life get left to chance at the end of the day, but I don't think that, you know, letting the people that I love and care about know that is one of those things that I want left to chance. So
yeah,
just send him a nice email. And my dad's not a big emotion guy, so I don't know how he, you know, how that was. I'm sure he was grateful, but yeah, it was like, it was definitely just like raw emotions to a guy who's pretty, like, you know, he's not cold by any means, but he doesn't always show a ton of emotion. So I figured an email was a good way to, like, get everything out. Let him process it in his own place. You know? Yeah. And so
yeah. without the like avoiding the awkwardness of him having to deal with that face to face.
Yeah, or like having to respond. Yeah, just to,
that,
like,
that age group too, like that generation was not good at like, you know, male to male emotional connection, I would say.
Right.
Emotional transparency, rather, I should say.
Right. So that was my tweet to bring it back was afterwards. I was like, all this talk about toxic masculinity this week just made me want to put on this song and have a good cry about how much I love my dad.
That's good.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Maybe that's why the whole thing didn't really bother me, because I don't think I'm meeting the criteria for toxic masculinity these days. But, yeah, it was awesome. Great song.
I don't like logos, so I'm a toxic male.
I'm just picturing, like, a scene from, like, that Alcatraz movie, and Matt's just, like, comes out of the closet, and he's like, welcome to the rock.
All right. Well, I guess it's, oh, you know what? Before we get to that, I want to give a special
shakeout.
Yeah, I want to give a special shout out to a guy that went to high school and went to DeMatha. You've read some bad things about certain Catholic schools. Save the emails. They were harassing girls all day. I don't care.
Ghost tags.
But DeMatha, one of our graduates, is a man named Justin Fairfax. He's Lieutenant Governor of Virginia, and Virginia has a tradition where they would honor Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson, who, of course, were Confederate generals. So they tried to do this last week. Justin walked out of the chamber of the state Senate, and then he came back another day, and he had direct descendants of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson, and they said, hey, we're going to stand here with Justin Fairfax and say that you shouldn't be honoring these white supremacists. So, Justin, great work. You make me feel a little bit that I haven't accomplished a lot. He was the president of his class right behind me, and he's Lieutenant Governor of Virginia. I'm a radio guy, but either way, Justin Fairfax, proud of you, man, and, you know, go Stags. All right, now it's about that time.
Boo-ba-doo-ba-doo-boo-boo! Cobb Topic!
Cobb Topic.
To touch on that real quick, that's what I feel like that's one of the biggest sources of dissatisfaction, but also, like, of the seven deadly sins, where, like, envy is the one that's least talked about and the most destructive, I would say. Envy really gets people.
Oy, that's one of the problems with social media.
Comparison's a thief of joy.
Yeah, accurate.
Teddy Roosevelt.
That's who it was?
Yeah, not Ari Shaffir.
Dude, he's coming up soon, I think.
He is? Oh, I want
to. No, I'm screwing him up with somebody else. My bad.
All right, so you guys were talking about wings earlier, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wing King doing his thing. Okay.
I didn't get my wings last week. I'm freaking out.
This one is more of a
coming for you.
More of an opinion piece, but it has to do with, you know, both meats and the Super Bowl, which is,
all right,
would the world be a better place if ribbed condoms tasted like ribs? Please give us your thoughts. Email thepodcast.com or hit.
I don't understand flavored condoms in general. What a, like?
Well, generally, I don't. For that, for a mouth hug,
ribs.
Is it
good ribs?
But for a mouth hug, generally, like, I'm not wearing one.
Right. The benefit for me, as far as I can tell, because exactly, who needs a condom for a mouth hug?
I will say that one of the best mouth hugs I ever had was at the Bunny Ranch, and that clearly involved a condom.
Those are mm-hmm. pros.
That's fair.
You're right. Like, I went straight from half season rookie ball up to the pros.
Yeah, to Nolan Ryan throwing heaters over the plate. That pigeon never saw Randy Johnson coming, man.
Never.
To me, flavored condoms in general, because of that, I always assumed, like, is it just for the demographic of me who likes to, like, take a break and then go give her a mouth hug? And then it tastes like grape or whatever? Or it would taste like ribs instead of latex?
Oh, I didn't think about that, dude.
Neither did I.
So if that's the case, I mean, I'd probably prefer the ones they currently have on the market. I don't know if I need ribs in that equation.
No ribs?
I'm going to pass. If a girl wanted a condom mouth hug to taste like ribs, might be, you know...
A question.
That's one no ribs.
Yeah, I'm going to go with no.
Beef rib or pork rib?
Beef ribs.
Ooh.
And you can go in whichever style of whichever city you'd like. We could be talking about, like, Texas, dry rub.
Well, we're
ribs.
Talking a beef talking rib.
About Kansas City style, okay, North Carolina.
I think if you're talking, North Carolina would never make a beef rib.
That's true. They're pork.
They're all about pork, yeah. I'm thinking about that beef rib we got at the Pecan Lounge.
I'd be eating condoms.
That's the other problem. I don't want to be sitting in my house licking a condom.
Like, then I feel like I would end up as one of those the cocaine smugglers that put it in the condom and then like swallow a bunch of them, you know?
Yeah, like it's tastes like a beef rib.
It's too extreme, but
pop chips. I got ribbed ribs.
Yeah, there's no calories. What are you doing? I'm chewing a condom. Like that would creep
it's like
people
gum.
Out. Yeah, it's like gum.
It's the new gum.
I think it's a bad
thing.
Do
it, Ted. Oh, bad. All right.
Why do you, I mean, just because, and then.
Just use barbecue sauce as lube, man.
That.
Like everyone else.
Nobody do that.
Do not.
You thought a yeast infection was bad. Wait till you see what
there's
happens.
Vinegar
you get that much sugar and oxygen up there.
Yeah, right. The sugar is what I'm worried about.
Yeah. Although they do have sugaring. Where they sugar,
yep.
I can't say this.
Now,
sugar
I'd be down with rib-flavored lube.
Okay. Now you have my, you had my interest. Now you have my attention.
Like I could sprinkle, maybe it's just like something like you rub on her body and then when you kiss her body, it tastes like beef ribs. God damn it. No wonder I'm single. Now I'm trying to make a woman taste like a rib.
That's like that.
Like what happened to all this? I just need to meet a chick. Well, does she taste like beef rib?
What does she taste
from
like
a specific
though?
Place in Dallas?
Standards, Ted.
I mean, is she a pecan lounge or are we talking like Arby's? You know?
Yeah, right? Like,
is that a beef curtain or a beef rib?
Is this Texas beef rib or is this like a Brooklyn beef rib?
Short rib? What, you know. All right, I took us off the rails, and for that I apologize.
You know what? That's all right. I think we needed it. It was kind of serious here for a minute. Let's see. I have absolutely nothing going on this weekend.
Shut us down.
Yeah, I'm just going to hang out. You guys got anything to promote or a show you're going to?
No, but I do have an invite for you this weekend. Maybe I'll hang out with you.
Oh, yeah. All right. All right. I know that invite. I'm gonna have to go buy some clothes. All right, there you go. Episode 246 for MCTP for Cobb of the Ted Smith is the podcast. Cheers.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season's almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.